dig sex. I'm not gonna apologize for not sharing society's hang-ups.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, you didn't have to. You have hang-ups. Admit it. Look, it's not your fault. We live in an uptight, puritanical society. If you look at the history of all civilizations, like ancient Rome, for example, if you went into a prominent citizen's villa in ancient Rome and you looked up on the walls, there would be murals of people f***ing.
Really? People f***ing
uh-huh.
on the walls.
And phalluses. My point is, they didn't have hang-ups. You know? They were like, hey man, sex is a life force.
So.
Holy shit, that's Rod Johnson.
Rod Johnson?
He's practically got a Saturn V rocket for a c***. He just annihilates these chicks. Like, he'd be like f***ing the shit out of them. Like, and then splooge all over their mouth and nose and eyes, like buckets excreted from his body all over them. It's f***ing crazy.
Must be great not having hang-ups.
I'll never get used to how damn loud that is compared to the samples. That blows out your effing ears, man. It hurts. Yeah, we're doing a clean one. Just put it out there on the airwaves. Clean episode.
All right. I'll try to remember. I'm pretty hungover, though, I gotta say.
A little bit. Had a bit of a night, did you, Howard?
Yeah, I definitely thoroughly enjoyed the Green Bay-Seattle game last night.
All right, you know, we'll do that first. I know that my other two topics of the day are not particularly exciting to you. It's okay. I think they're winners. I think we can do something with them.
It's your show, man. It's your audience. I'm just here for the ride.
This is a marriage, Howard. This is not like one of those southern ones where the man gets everything he wants and the woman knows her place. This is one of those liberal, fruity, northeastern...
Same-sex couples.
Yeah. Not same-sex, you know, but the man's got one of those baby pouches on him sometimes walking around.
Yeah. Yeah, that is you.
He's doing the bottle a lot. He's waking up to do the feedings. He cleans the kids sometimes. You know, it's an equality thing, man. I'm not a troglodyte here.
All right.
It's a democracy in this household.
I just presumed that I was the stepchild in this relationship, so I appreciate you promoting me.
No.
Giving priority to the NFL. Way to be, man. Way to be.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
because only you like the NFL, and I've alienated every listener by saying we're going to talk football for 20 minutes. But we are. It's Papa's Basement. I'm your host, John Papa Giorgio. With me today is Howard Hyland, a.k.a. at Expegetical on FXegetical on Twitter. I don't know. You can go to inpapasbasement.com and find the spelling of his horrible Twitter handle. You can also find mine. I'm at Papa's Basement on Twitter. What do we have? Facebook.com/Papa's Basement. Go there for links to everything I put on In Papa's Basement and silly pictures. And if you want to comment on crap, you can do it right there. And last but not least, on In Papa's Basement is the link to iTunes, where you can subscribe to the show. We do two episodes a week. We've outlasted Ace of Spades. Screw you, Lemmy, you old SOB. And I haven't... You're looking at me like I've sworn already. I haven't. It's clean. This is
no, you
haven't. Saturday. Good.
No, like okay. I'm staring like mindlessly at the wall because my head hurts.
That's not good, man. Did you do anything to treat your hangover?
I woke up too early, and all I could think about when I woke up... This is a problem. I woke up too early, and I was trying to go back to sleep.
I just want everyone to hate us. What is Howard Hyland's version of too early? Like, this is the life we lead. Because I wake up at 8 a.m. every day, which, by my standards for the last couple of years, is pretty early. But, like, I've kind of fixed my schedule.
Here's the thing. I went to bed at 1:30 last night.
Okay.
Woke up at 7.
7's fairly early. I'll give you that. 7 to me is early.
I tried to fall back asleep, but like the second I was up, the first thing across my mind was the last play of the Green Bay Seattle game. I'm not kidding. I woke up. I was like, man, my head hurts. Man, I cannot believe that play.
And that's what kept you up, correct?
Yeah,
you
were watching the game. I was laying in bed for like another hour before I gave up because I was like, I cannot believe that this is all I can think about while I'm lying here trying to fall asleep with a hangover.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it because everyone is. Yeah. And I think I'm going to toss this one up tomorrow, actually, so that we are slightly topical.
You got it. Yeah, Fareezy, you got it.
Also because I don't want to write too much. Also because I got S to do tomorrow.
This is a special. This is a special episode for a special day in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, this is maybe one of the biggest botches in NFL officiating history.
I wouldn't go there.
Really?
I wouldn't because...
Well, okay, the game... matters not a damn way. Let's say that the game itself, I think to be a big botch you have to be like postseason, or you have to have directly blocked someone's path to the postseason. This is too early in the season. It was just a grotesque, egregious error.
This is one of the most memorable gaffes for sure, but people have a very short memory and it stuns me that people forget the days before instant replay was revived and all the bad things that had to happen in order for the NFL to bring back instant replay, because there was a lot of it. I remember specifically...
When was it gone? I didn't realize this. When was it gone?
I can't remember the years, but there was a gap. Probably like from...
They wanted
mid-90s
to make it like European soccer or something,
like,
and they're like, here's your stoppage time.
They just thought it was taking too long, so they came up with the challenges rule because previously it was taking too long. They were just... It was happening all the time.
That's the game, though. I don't know what to tell people. Like, a telecast... Have you ever heard of the Heidi Bowl? I just learned about this a couple days ago.
You didn't know about that?
No. It was the most hilarious damn thing. We're not going to get into it. Okay, we will. Because screw it. It's all padding time, folks. The Heidi Bowl, you had the... What was it? It was Raiders versus the Jets, correct?
I think that's correct.
Okay.
I think that's correct.
And Raiders were down 2 touchdowns.
I thought they were down 17, something like that, right?
I thought they were down maybe, let's say, 13. So the 2 touchdowns made a win. They were down a significant amount with like a couple minutes to play.
Yeah.
Whole deal is, games back then, and this is why I brought up the Heidi Bowl, were 2.5 friggin' hours long. And they had penned in this game to run 4 until 7. NBC, who was broadcasting it, at which point 7 p.m., Heidi kicks in. Effing Heidi. This is what edgy programming was. Like, this is how you suckered people in back then.
The miniseries.
A broadcast of GD Heidi. So, maybe because it was a heavy passing game, and there's a lot of, I guess, penalties, things like that, it dragged on, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, crap, we're going to go past 3 hours. And because they had signed an agreement with Timex, who actually sold the commercials during Heidi, NBC was like, screw this crap, we're going to Heidi. And in the 2 to 3 minutes of game time left, Raiders torch the Jets, win the game. It's like an epic moment East Coast viewers got cheated out of. Whole reason, again, I'm bringing up Heidi Bowl. That crap, on average, used to be 2.5 hours. You would book 3 hours to be safe.
Yeah.
And that was typically padded with the commentators jawing back and forth with like players and themselves after the fact.
See, you don't really go to live football games for like pros or college. Let me tell you something, man. Like, those commercial breaks are ludicrous.
You're just like, sitting with your junk in your hand for how...
That's how the players are in the huddle. I just look at them as you're sitting at a game, like while you're not busy. If you ever like look down at the field while you're attending a game, at the players just standing in the huddle waiting for the commercial break to end, It just looks like they're all like basically... What's the term? I mean, they're not warm. It seems like it's really hard to stay fresh. Like,
yeah, you just cool down. Your muscles tighten and everything.
Yeah, so I just feel like it doesn't make sense as you watch like the flow of the game with the play clock.
That's literally the one line that I remember from that horrible Any Given Sunday movie was, I think Pacino said, the game changed fundamentally when they cut away from it for that first commercial break. When that first on-field timeout for commercials took place.
Yeah, I've never bothered to sit through the whole...
Oh, it's so bad. Oh, yeah. It's so bad.
Yeah.
I love Pacino. What's his face? Who's the damn director?
Stone.
Oliver Stone. Like, I'll give him Natural Born Killers because my brother's so obsessed with that one. Like, it's contagious, where I'll just watch it and be like, okay, that has its moments. But holy S. Any Given Sunday's bad.
It's S. Yeah.
So bad. With, like, you got the knockoff team names. I think they're, like, the Miami Sharks, right? Not the Dolphins.
Yeah, a lot of it's cliche. They, of course, have the quarterback controversy between a white and black quarterback.
Yeah, and it's exactly.
It's ridiculous.
Dennis Quaid, I believe, the white quarterback.
Yeah, the immobile older quarterback with the younger...
Who was the uppity young Negro quarterback? I don't remember who
that
was.
Wasn't it Jamie Foxx? I can't remember.
Oh, that easily could be it.
Yeah.
I could easily see that.
But it's just, it was, not a good movie.
We're rattling on about this because game length, I would say if you're watching a 1 p.m. game now in the NFL, expect that to go to like 4:20, no problem. 4:15.
Yeah.
Give me that much.
Instant replay disappeared for that reason because it was really pushing the games back, and that's why they came up with the two challenge flags. So initially, instant replay was just, hey, this is because officials make mistakes. We're trying to build in a couple of safeguards. And they've expanded it so that like every scoring play is now checked. They expanded it so that within 2 minutes, like.
And it's a passing league, too. Passes just don't eat the clock. Incompletes, at least.
Yeah, that's true.
That doesn't help things. Long story short, man, games are running long. You were up late last night officiating debacle, at least for this season, the worst that's happened. Because if you're not in the know, the NFL has this season blocked out the standard refs. And they're using, I guess you'd call them scabs, right?
Replacement referees. Replacement refs. Is the politically correct term.
That's a nice way of putting it. They're using scabs and... These guys are like not even good college refs. They're kind of like from what? Lower end college conferences and even like high school refs.
Yeah, it's not even NCAA, all of them. Like some of them came out of NAIA.
I don't even know what that is. That sounds like that rapper chick.
It's, they purposely, there's a small group of colleges that operate outside the NCAA that you probably haven't even really heard of any of these schools.
Like University of Phoenix Online?
They're a little better than that.
Okay.
They're a little better than that. They're more like these small liberal arts colleges that are like, hey, someone gave us a lot of money once.
So they feel like a lot of transgenders or something like that?
Is it
that kind of liberal arts?
It's basically, you know how we were not athletic in high school?
Yeah.
We could have played
but
on
we've
an
blossomed
NAIA
since. Don't leave
football
that out.
Team. Like, really? We could have gone to college and been like, man, high school sucked. I wish I could have played football. Go to an NAIA school. They'll let you on the team.
That's a joke.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, Division III is pretty close to that for football.
That's an effing joke.
Just like, I always wanted to play football. Yeah.
So you're like this close to just being like the pale white guys with dreadlocks kicking around the hacky sack. Like, that's your athleticism level.
You could be that person and make an NAIA football team.
So these guys don't have really sharp and quick eyes because they're dealing with white person speed, not black person speed. Unathletic white person speed at that.
I would chip in like Asian American speed. I mean, I know some of us are fast. However, you know, I think the ones that end up at NAIA, like looking for an athletic.
I always think of Asians nimble fingered. Like they can type quickly. And they're, I don't know.
Maybe I can also karate chop you, fool, if you don't watch
them
out.
Yeah, exactly. Like you could chop a fly in half or something like that, or throw a chopstick and knock a ninja who is flying in on a kite out of the sky. Like that kind of stuff. But not so much like just peeling down, doing a killer 40. So they're just not good. They're not at these little podunk schools that pay nothing because they're particularly good. And they're trying their best. But I've heard it's just shocking for players, even coming from a collegiate level to the NFL. What I hear more than anything from these dudes is not so much guys are bigger, I'm getting hit more. You hear they're faster.
Yeah.
Everything is so much effing faster.
And it takes about a year, I think, for rookies to get adjusted to it. So now you're asking these refs.
It's like,
coming
did you ever
NAIA.
Play Street Fighter 2?
Yeah.
Where, like, you would... Oh, God, what was it? It was Turbo. It was the Turbo edition.
Yeah.
Where, like, on Speed 3, you're like, okay, this is a little faster. Like, the first time you jump from Street Fighter 2 to Street Fighter 2 Turbo, you're like, oh, my God, this is insane.
That's...
And soon enough, you can keep up with it. And suddenly you're like, okay, this is the speed I'm used to. And the Genesis one, I think you could crank up to like 10 stars, which was just ludicrous. Yeah. Like it was too fast to do anything. You blink and you're dead. But you could slowly ratchet up the stars. And so these guys are used to like normal speed Street Fighter, and like SEC speed Street Fighter is like 3-star Turbo. And NFL is like 8-star Turbo. You know what I mean? Like you cannot just jump into this. If you do, you're like, I missed it. Rue threw a Hadouken and knocked Blanca out while I blinked.
Yeah, and I think I mean, all the controversy that's going on right now is how difficult it is to enforce the rules on passes downfield between like receivers and defensive backs. What the frick is going on?
Well, because it's the, what I won't say the pussification, although I just said it, and I'm not going to bleep it, because I don't think I have to, but the wussification of the NFL with the quarterbacks really can't get hit. I mean, there are some insane roughing the passer calls. Did you see those where, like, a dude fell into Russell Wilson's ankle, like, at roughly 2 miles an hour, and the ref dropped that flag? Like, it was just perfunctory. Like, whoop, you touched him.
See, but that's the rule, and that's why, like, it's unfair that the refs are getting called out at times for applying
what is the rule.
Yeah. Okay. So I think people are, like, there's a lynch mob going on, in my opinion, with these replacement refs. I don't think everything they're doing is bad. Yeah, they're not as good as the old guys, but...
No, it's just blame Canada. You know what I mean? It's
just,
if you didn't have any sort of complaint you could level against the actual refs other than, well, these guys suck and refs blow calls. It wasn't a case of, oh my God, there's clearly a better product that exists that we're being deprived of.
No, that's very true right now.
Yeah, it's...
Because the problem is... To me, like, it's not that horrible, like, last play, which I actually think was called right. Like, I'm going to get mauled because I think everybody in the country, except for me, believes it was, it's me and the NFL. For whatever reason, I got the NFL's back on this. I think it was the right call. I mean, I shouldn't say it was the right call. It was not incorrect. I would have called an interception if I'd been in that guy's shoes, but, you know, if he saw a simultaneous catch and he called it that way, you know what? I think you got to let it be a touchdown. I think that could have happened to any of the regular refs, too.
It's, I'm going back. It's like these refs, it's like for 5 years, you've driven like a used Mercedes and it needs its oil changes and it has its issues. And you're like, damn it. Cars are annoying. They're a pain in the ass. And then all of a sudden someone gives you a Kia and you're like, holy crap, man. I didn't even know how good I had it with the Mercedes. Like you bitched when you had the Mercedes. But it never even occurred to you, like, there was just something better that existed beyond that. Like, you get the Kia, and it's like, this thing is garbage. What I had before, while flawed, is so obviously better. So,
yeah,
let's lay out the play. This is what happened. The final sequence of the Monday night game. You guys are going to be listening to this one on Wednesday, so 2 nights ago at this point.
Yeah.
And never mind, this will also broadcast on Saturday. At this point, it's going to be old. I don't care. You're, just listen.
This is going to be a story for a week. That's why we can do this on Saturday.
All right. So it is, what, 12-7. Green Bay has kind of tenuously held on. I didn't watch a ton of the game because the first half was, what, Seattle kind of flexing its muscle? Even though
Seattle's defense dominated Green Bay in the first half. It was amazing. 8 sacks.
It's hard to say anyone dominated. It's just, it must have been a really defensive contest.
Dude, they weren't even blitzing. They were just
only
saying,
got a touchdown.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's just, to me, it's a great defense going up against a great offense, and then you had a mediocre offense going up against a mediocre defense.
I got you.
So it was really just like the enjoyment.
By the way, I didn't know Seattle was like this insane defensive squad. When the hell
did
this
happen?
I didn't
know that either. But
they're first in points allowed this year or some crap like that. It's absurd.
I'll put it this way. Like, you look at the way that the Giants won the Super Bowl last year. That was a 9-7 team that had a great pass rush that kept them in every game that they played.
Yes.
So they lost a lot of games. I think more than any other Super Bowl champion has ever lost. But they were able to, like, pull out, you know, consecutive wins in the playoffs because they have that ridiculous front four. And that's exactly what Seattle's doing this year.
Well, there's certain,
I was stunned.
There's certain teams out there, just certain defenses where their skill is like, we can really disrupt these high-end, like, top-five quarterbacks. Like, we're awesome at that. Like, yeah. I always believe you put those against, like, a Baltimore, and Ray Rice is just like, I'm going to run a lot. They're just like, okay, this isn't so good.
Well, even in the second half, the Packers adjusted
their
game plan.
Cedric Benson was sick.
He was pretty good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call him sick. But
like, what I watched of the game, this is why I watched about 45 minutes of the game. It was Seattle. Their whole third quarter was roughly like 5 3-and-outs, and
they had 2 drives. They had 6 plays. That was it, because Green Bay dominated the ball.
Yeah, and it was Cedric Benson
running,
And I forgot what drew my attention away. I was just like, I probably showered and went to bed.
Third quarter was really boring.
Yeah, and that's what I joined for. And I was like, screw this, man. How much football are you going to watch, Papa Georgia? This is absurd. Do something with your damn life.
Yeah. I drank a lot during that third quarter. I think that's why I have a hangover.
It was a perfect drinking quarter. You weren't going to miss much.
I mean, because I do like the running game. So to me, it was impressive. But yeah, it's Seattle was so bad on offense. It was just it was kind of painful.
Like, yeah, you give me a ton of three and outs. I ain't paying to watch the Redskins of the West. Like, I get enough of that crap on Sunday.
Yeah,
I want a good game Sunday night and a good game Monday night. You give me ineptitude when I don't have to take it because I have to watch the Redskins game.
Yeah.
But you give me that crap and I don't have to watch you, I'm like, hey, guess what? I can turn this off. I am a big boy. I'm not that hooked on NFL.
And look at the cost. Look at how you lost out last night.
I wouldn't call it that much of a cost because final play of the game, score is 12-7, Seattle down. They've got the ball, 8 seconds left. They're on what?
26-yard line.
26-yard line. Absurd. Okay. And not like Green Bay's 26-yard line. They're 26-yard line.
No, it was Green Bay. They were in Green Bay territory.
Oh, they were in Green Bay territory?
Yeah.
Damn it. From the replay, it looked like that guy chucked the ball GD 50 yards.
No. It was like, well, because he had to roll out.
He backpedaled a lot. Okay.
He had to escape the
defenders. Russell Wilson, Seattle's quarterback, a rookie. I guess big things were expected from the preseason. He's doing okay. He rolls out. He's under pressure. Final play of the game. See, this is why I'm pissed. Everyone referred to it as a Hail Mary. I guess it is, but I always...
It's about a 40-yard throw.
I like to think a Hail Mary is longer than that.
It was about a 40-yard throw. It's just the positive yardage was like 26.
Okay.
So
he's rolling back, and he lobs this ball. And going, first of all, near where it's landing, the Seattle's receiver is Golden Tate, correct?
Yes.
We can do an entire segment on black names, but we'll save that for another time. Right now, you need to know there is a man named Golden.
Did you say his name is Golden Taint?
No, Golden Tate. I resisted the urge for the easy joke. Golden Tate. First of all, shoves one Green Bay defender like he's doing the damn Heisman Trophy. I mean, just lobs one guy to the ground.
He went Michael Irvin on that guy.
Literally... you're a woman at a concert about to get raped type shove. Just flings one dude to the ground. This goes completely uncalled by the refs, the replacement refs.
It should have been called.
It was as blatant as it gets. It was offensive pass interference. You're not allowed to just blatantly knock a dude down. This was as bad as it gets. He shoves one MF-er out of the way. So then was MD Jennings. I don't know what the MD stands for. I just copied. I just know him as Jennings.
Jennings. I know Jennings.
Exactly. Jennings, the Green Bay defender, leaps up. The one that didn't get shoved to the ground by Golden Taint.
There were about four Packers standing, two receivers for the Seahawks were like also involved.
Yeah. Leaps up. This ball hits him square between his man teats. Correct me if I'm wrong so far. I've seen the replay like 6 trillion times.
All right, at the very start of the catch.
Yes.
He got up above everybody else.
Yeah.
And got his hands on the ball first.
Okay. I'm with you so far. I'm not disputing anything. He's got his arms wrapped around it.
And then he's proceeding to bring it down to his chest.
Yeah, as he's kind of coming down. I would even say he gets it to his chest or... Maybe at this point, Golden Taint, has his hands on the ball.
He has one hand.
One hand. While Jennings has both and is clutching this to his body like a mom saving her infant from starving wolves. Like he's in protective swaddle this baby
mode. So, yeah, as far as the way it looked.
Yes. By the time they come back down, Golden Taint has... I'm just going to run with that, by the way. It made me laugh. It made me chuckle. I liked it. Golden Taint's got both of his hands on the ball, but clearly, if there's such a word as like who has more holdage on a ball, Jennings is way more holdage. He's got his rib cage, his arms around it.
That's why everybody's upset.
Whereas Golden just kind of has his hands on it, like almost doing like an alligator thing with your arms and your hands, doing the little jaws. He's kind of done an alligator clamp on the bared top and bottom of the ball. But if I had to say who's got more holdage of this ball, it would be Jennings.
And yet that's not the rule.
Well, they crash back down to Earth after one of those amazing black man leaps that's like 18 feet in the air. It's like Space Jam. And they crash back down to Earth, and Golden does not release the ball, and Jennings sure as hell doesn't release the ball, and they're kind of just doing that little roll around on the ground, where she's like, I had it. And the refs run over, which is great because one of them signals touchback, the other touchdown. So you've got one guy doing the uh-uh with his hands and the other doing the hands up. Yes, this did happen.
But the guy who put his hands up had the better angle. So I think that's why they went with touchdown.
Well, the dude who called it touchback first looked at the other guy, saw no, like that his arms weren't moving at that moment, turns back looking at it. He signals touchback while the other cat is now throwing his arms up for touchdown.
Yeah.
Then it gets messy because what they have to, it's like 10 minutes. Everyone's gone in, even though people are pouring on the field. Like, what the F just happened? Because if you're Seattle, I guess you're like, hey, the refs got it right. Let's get the F out of here quick. Real quick. And if you're Green Bay, I would be like, I don't want to leave, man. I just got robbed. Fix this.
Yeah.
So what happens after that, which is even weirder, what? They go back to their locker rooms for like 10 minutes?
No, Seattle's like celebrating. Green Bay just got out of there because they were so mad.
Okay.
But like they technically had to come back for the extra point because like point differentials matter as far as playoffs go. So they did have to allow Seattle the chance to convert the extra point.
Which they, again, didn't grasp at the time. And you would think the standard officials would be like, all right, boys, I don't care what happened. Get your asses out there. Do the extra point. These guys have so little control over the game and kind of not enough knowledge because they would just be like, okay, the game was decided. Let's go home.
So that was the debacle to me. Just they didn't understand that part. But everybody really is focusing on the interception.
Well, everyone's focusing on the fact that Jennings looked like he had this ball.
But that's not the rule. And I hate ESPN because they've misled everyone, I feel.
ESPN doesn't care about the rules. It's just like, well, this is what we saw and this is how it should be. And
that is how it should
be. Let's stoke the fires.
And you know what? It's not the fault of the refs who made the call. If you read the rule book, and it's not just this rule that they
keep. This is Lawyer Highland's hour.
So yeah, I'm telling you, like,
tell us right
now. Read the rule on simultaneous catch.
Okay.
I've been quoting it all over ESPN. And
I'll put it out there right now. This is what I get fed by ESPN and others on the topic. It's like simultaneous possession. I've heard two things. One, simultaneous possession goes to the receiver, like the offense.
Yes.
The passer is actually the term. That's the first term.
That's important.
However, a dude who's got the ball against him.
Gains control is the phrase.
Exactly. He's pretty much the sole possessor of the ball.
You're the first person to gain possession.
Now, you're saying what exactly?
Define gain control. And that's the biggest problem because people are saying, well, what I saw looked like he gained control. And to be fair to people, that's like a normal understanding of the phrase. But you actually have to continue to read the rest of the NFL rule book to understand, like, hey, when you go back and look at the definition of possession of a loose ball, basically a reception is a category of plays known as possession of, like, in order to gain possession of a loose ball.
Yeah.
You can catch it. And so you have to look at the definition of that. And so, like, that's when you start getting into this, like, weird crap about, oh, you have to make a football move. They changed the language on that stuff.
I like football move. I like the vagary of football move.
It's just, where did he gain control of the ball? Where did Jennings gain control? Because usually you have to have your feet down before you gain control. Because, like, look at it this way. Let's say that the receiver had been the one who caught the ball in the air, and then the defender had kind of knocked it out of his hands.
Out of his hands? Yeah. Or
did, like, he ever have control? If he, like, briefly had it for a second, it was in his hands, and then the guy knocked it out. What,
like,
is the
definition? Before they come down?
Yeah.
Hell no, he didn't have it.
So this is the problem with the phrase gain control. it has a technical meaning that may or may not have applied in that situation.
It's kind of like the rulings on pornography where it's like, I can't define it, but I know it when I see it.
And that's what most people, I'll give them credit on that. You're right. It should be an interception just by the way it looks. But when you read the rule book, did the referee make an incorrect call? I don't think he made an incorrect call. I would have called it an interception if I'd been on the field.
It was just funny to me because I quit watching this game and I'm screwing around on Twitter maybe 40 minutes later and it blows up. I love it when S goes down because Twitter blows up. I actually saw good sweet Jewish Joel Goldstein. Say that three times fast. Jewish Joel Goldstein. There we go. Joel Goldstein, who has done his time on the show and is a friend of the show. And he was just riffing on Twitter about it. And
he was mad.
A lot of other guys were getting into it. Well, he gambles a lot. Mad. And the spread was, what, 3.5?
You saw the ESPN business story on that, right? There was like a $250 million swing.
I've heard, here's what gets really annoying. Vegas has reported themselves like 15 mil. And then other people have said like, yeah, with the internet crap in the mix, it was like up to 150. And then there's other guys out there who are like, no, with like, if you want to factor in the illegal junk, that swung like $1 billion or something like that. I've heard the word billion thrown out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of gambling. There's a lot of gambling on the NFL.
And it was a 3.5-point difference, correct?
I can't remember.
Yeah,
I refused to bet on this game. I actually did a 14 parlay this weekend, and really? I avoided this game on purpose.
Did you win?
I was 3 out of 4. The fourth was
so close.
The fourth, so the one that I missed was Detroit. It was Detroit versus the Titans.
Yeah, that game was nuts.
Yeah, it was just stunning because I figured like the Titans were so hard up on their running back over the last week that there was no way they were going to be able to hang. Detroit only had to win by 3 for me to like get it.
Oh, so had like. And that game, by the way, decided by crappy officiating, correct? Like, weren't the Titans spotted something like 12 extra yards?
There was something like that, but no, like, the thing that lost it for Detroit was, like, snapping the ball accidentally on fourth down in overtime. So, like, you know, the new
rule. I didn't get to watch
overtime.
The overtime because the Whole Foods I was at, the anus who thought it'd be a good idea because he Heidi-bowled us pretty much. He was like, oh, well, according to this, the game's over. And he flips it to soccer.
Wow.
It was just some white guy like
that's unacceptable.
And all of us were just like, turn it the F back. And he kind of just sat there for like 4 minutes and we were just like, turn it now.
Wait, that was an employee?
Yeah. And he finally flipped it back.
I
take it back. At that point, he flipped it then. Pretty much he was like, I have to keep it on this TV, the football until 4:05. And then I have to flip to I guess it was a Browns game at 4:15 or some crap like that. So there's like a little gap between him where he thought like, this is going to be me time. I'm going to take my break, watch 10 minutes of Premier League or whatever the hell crap.
I would have assaulted that person. I'll be honest. Like, yeah. I'm pretty mild mannered, but I basically would have tried to get that guy fired.
He should have been so changing the channels with his ass because a whole bunch of remotes should have been buried up it.
I'm stunned that
like
you're okay
we were
with
all
this.
Just like no, I wasn't watching that game in particular. I was watching the Skins lose, but then by the end, I turned around and I'm like, oh, this game's kind of the stone cold nuts.
That was the best game on Sunday.
Yeah,
dude, the end of that game is actually the craziest of the week. Because all right, so well, fourth,
they're down by 14. No, so like 18 seconds left or something.
So yeah, they scored the 2 touchdowns to tie it, and in an overtime. First possession, Tennessee gets a field goal.
Yes.
They have the new overtime rules.
They get a chance. Detroit gets a chance to answer a field goal.
Detroit gets to the 7-yard line of Tennessee.
Okay.
On 4th and 1.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They pretended that they were going to go for it. They were just trying to draw the other team off sides, but because it was the Lions' backup quarterback.
He actually went for it.
He snapped the ball, and they lost the game. They could have just kicked the field goal to continue the game.
Yeah.
And if they just done that, and given me one more chance, I could have won my parlay.
You would have been okay. Well, correct me if I'm wrong. With the overtime rules, Titans could then get a field goal and just end it, right? You only get to...
Yeah. I mean, I could have ended as a tie, too, frankly. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if that game had things actually progressed from that point. Nobody scored. It could have just been a tie, and I would have lost my bet, too. So, But at any rate, man, that was the one.
That was a good game, and it got switched. And then they finally put on, yeah, just some horrible, some really lackluster 4 p.m. game. And I was like, no, no one wants to watch that crap.
Yeah.
No one wants to see the first 2 minutes of, I really think it was Cleveland for some reason. Like, it was just the worst of the worst, you know? Like, who gives a crap about the Browns?
It's garbage.
No offense to all 8 of their fans.
But the game I was proud that I avoided, because I was like, that's going to be terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't think that's a good game to bet on. San Francisco and Minnesota.
I was watching those updates during Sunday, man. That was hilarious.
Because this is why I hate like ESPN. Everybody on that channel is like, hey, don't you think it's ridiculous? Adrian Peterson is talking schmack about the Niners defense. I'm like, last I checked, the Niners just beat two teams that were passing-oriented offenses.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't played a team with a feature back. There's only a couple of them in the league now. I think he might do okay. I'm not going to touch this game.
What was his final yardage?
He didn't even play that great. It was like 86 yards.
It's not bad.
For one player going up against the top defense, it was enough to free up Christian Ponder to put some balls in the end zone. So you know what? They won by 11.
I mean, this is what burns my ass about writing, like sports writing in general, but really NFL writing. And it's as much my fault as anyone because I eat it up, but it's so swingy because who does it? Don Banks, I think, does power rankings. Pro Football Talk will do power rankings as well. It's just completely hinges on what did you do this week? What did you do this week? Not what is the overall structure of this team and like what is its schedule going forward. But San Fran, for they win. And they beat who? Green Bay week one. And who was their second win?
Detroit.
Detroit. Yeah, that's right.
Pretty good offense. Decent defense.
I think Detroit is like, they're never going to be a Super Bowl contender in their current state, but they're always going to be like playoff contenders.
Yeah, yeah. They're a wild card contender.
Yeah, exactly. That's a perfect way of putting it. Everyone's blowing San Fran. They're just the best of the best. They're going to lose to the Vikings, and then this week, we're going to hear about, oh, the chinks are appearing in the armor. You know what I mean? Like, oh, trouble in the bay.
And who let Alex Smith be their quarterback? Are you a moron?
Exactly. It's just, and next week they might win and things will be pretty decent again. And it's just these power rankings where, you know, oh, you lost a game, you drop 7 spots. You won a game, you climb 8. Like, yeah. It's just so swingy.
And it's just, it defies the basic principle of football, especially now with the salary cap and like everybody's parity is the worst thing in football to me.
It's the most communist.
How is this America? Oh, we're going to handicap every team so that they can only play one side of the ball. You have to have a great defense or a great offense. You can't have a great offense and a great defense. You might have a good opposite other side of the ball. That's all you can hope for because we're going to limit the amount that you can spend. It's ludicrous. Absolutely un-American.
I don't mind it. It's, problem is, it still seems like it doesn't loosen up everything all that much.
The aforementioned Cleveland sucks forever. I'll put it this way.
The Redskins, ugh.
There's a team like the Giants that struggles like against certain matchups. They lost twice to Eagles last year, right?
Yeah, they did, yes.
And then did they?
I know the Skins beat them twice.
That's right. Yeah, dude, it was
like, I can give you that factoid. Yeah.
Complete joke. They were terrible in their own division.
I think they did get torched by the Eagles. The Eagles have beat the ass out of the Giants for a while, though.
It's been weird.
Yeah.
And yet, like, that team matches up amazingly against New England. And New England is a really good team.
I'm telling you, they are amazing at, like, really elite passing teams that don't have the best run game.
They can drop back 7 and their front 4 is going to get at your quarterback.
They're just amazing blitzers, yeah.
If he can't move, so Mike Vick is going to be like, "Oh, you guys are moving up. Mm-hmm. I'm moving out the pocket." Tom Brady isn't doing that. So his teams struggle against the Giants. It's a great formula. That's why it's a matchup game. I don't care if you're number 1 and you're playing the number 32 team. You could have a bad matchup. And that's that. That's
there's
why
something I get what you're saying. It forces everyone to be a little rock, paper, scissory. It's not like just 3 different things. There's maybe like 10 different ways to match up, but you might match up against that one team who kind of has your number.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just that's why, like, looking at Minnesota versus San Fran, I was like, I don't know. I don't really think it was a good matchup for a San Fran team. Like, Minnesota's coach is supposedly one of the best defensive minds in football. Mm-hmm. He's going up against Alex Smith, so I think he'll do all right.
Again, somewhat, for whatever reason, it's like they're doing well. And I guess questions still do persist about him, but he's just not a good quarterback. There's no question that should persist. Like,
he's better than Trent Dilfer.
Yeah.
Why is Trent Dilfer on ESPN? Like, Trent Dilfer's
a smart dude. I like Matt Millen on ESPN, too. I don't get your point. Just because they were garbage when actually part of football, I like them behind a camera.
They speak intelligently.
Yeah, exactly.
But I just don't value their opinion whatsoever.
Yeah.
Because everything that comes out, I'm like, it sounds reasonable, but I'm pretty sure it's wrong.
Dilfer, I don't mind.
He's a moron, dude. I hate everything that comes out of his damn mouth. I just want to open hand slap. I don't hate the guy.
Yeah.
Actually, what do you think about Millen?
So you went from smacking him to shaking his hand.
Yeah, I could do both. Be like, what
would
you,
would you grab him by, like, right hand handshake and then left cheek smack with your left hand?
It's just, to me, like, what I hate about ESPN the most is, to me, the measure of a team that can compete to play for the Super Bowl, like a Super Bowl championship, is your quarterback as good or better than Trent Dilfer was in 2000? Then yes, you have a chance at playing in the Super Bowl.
He was the worst, though. He was literally the worst.
Yeah.
Like, literally, there's never been a quarterback who won the Super Bowl and was effing axed in the offseason.
And this is what I'm saying. Like, how can they put him on ESPN to talk about anything when it's like, hey, can this team make the playoffs? And it's like, well, to me, that's just what every comment should be. If a team with Dilfer at quarterback just can win the Super Bowl.
I did.
But they never do it.
Look at this ring.
Dude, like, first time I saw him on ESPN, he was sitting next to Merrill Hodge. Merrill Hodge is like, oh, Vince Young is the worst quarterback I've ever seen. I'm like, no, the worst you've ever seen is sitting right next to you, homie. Like, what are you talking about? And the worst part, though, is I actually saw Trent Dilfer's face as he's sitting there, and he said nothing bad about Vince Young. Because, as you pointed out, Trent Dilfer ain't dumb.
No, he's a smart guy, man.
He heard everything people said about him.
I mean, it's like, if I made you a quarterback, would it made you, like, unqualified to talk about football? And just because you suck at lobbing a ball and you can't run around all that well.
I think his presence puts a chilling effect on what people can say on that network. Because I really do feel like people should openly be able to talk about, remember that crazy time Trent Dilfer led a team to win the Super Bowl? How crazy was that?
That should just be a Friday night show.
It should be, like,
just
if
people getting drunk and being like, how did you get that ring?
If I owned an NFL team and my team was like 2-6 going into the like middle of the season, be like, hey, listen, you guys just need to sack up. We got the talent that we got. Yeah, our quarterback stinks, but I think he's better than Trent Dilfer, and that guy has a Super Bowl ring. We're going to have a great second half. Go.
The quarterback's just left standing there like, you mother effer. Yeah.
But to me, that's a barometer. I'm like, if that team could win a Super Bowl with him, I think anybody.
I don't know if that's a barometer. That defense was so stupid.
It was amazing. But see, like, if
that's
you have
like
a
saying
good
if the Hulk is your linebacker, you don't need much of a quarterback. It's like, no, you don't. He'll dismember the offense. He'll literally pull their arms out of their sockets like fly wings.
I'm just saying, if you look at good defensive teams, like, they can always believe. Like, I mean, that was the best defense possibly in history. I'm just saying, like, as your defense gets, like, less capable than that 2000 Ravens defense, your quarterback needs to move up incrementally. So well, the closer you are to the...
Your points will be... You'll allow more points versus I need to get more points to win.
It's just the balance. So it's just... I understand when teams invest in their defenses and are like, we'll take Alex Smith. He can't be as bad as Trent Dilfer.
I think the whole thing, though, is people see the writing on the wall in the league with, like, you just can't defend like you used to. It's starting to become illegal. You can't hit the quarterback like you used to. You can't interfere with the tight end.
This is why I'm so happy that Seattle won yesterday, because their formula appears to be, we have a rookie quarterback who's...
He's supposed to be good.
He's smart. He's just... He's still adjusting and learning the game.
He is the young Jamie Foxx.
Dude, okay. With 4 seconds left in the game, they'd scored one touchdown. All right? So that's where he is in his development. Green Bay's defense is not that great.
Is it still the worst in the league? Is it still hovering around there?
Their stats got a lot better last night, I'll say that. They're one interception short of what they should be at this point, but they're pretty close to having much better
stats. The tweets after the fact were great. Like, every Green Bay player lost it. I think Clay Matthews tweeted Roger Goodell's office number. That was the best.
Oh, that's hilarious.
He was like, hey, have a problem with the officiating? Call Mr. Goodell, and then just put up his...
That's amazing.
Yeah, that was pretty solid, not gonna lie.
I just, you know, I'm sorry, man. I think it was a catch. I'm just gonna say that. Like, I wouldn't have ruled it that way on the field, but I understand why the ref called it that way. Because, you know, like, nobody understands the meaning of game control in the rule book. It's not really well defined. It's at the discretion of the official. Official felt like they got their hands on the ball at the same time, which kind of is true. And it's hard to tell when they gain control of it. So, like, I mean, yeah, it looked to the plain viewer's eye like dude gained control at the top of his jump, but that's not necessarily true. So, I think it should have been an interception, though. However, I think it's just, like, the rule book sucks for the NFL. Let's not talk about the interception. Let's talk about that pass. I'm sorry. Roughing the passer that was called on that same drive. Like you were saying, it's just like some dude threw.
Oh, that was near the end?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, crap. I saw the replays on ESPN.
It was
like
a joke. That's why they showed it.
I was
on the last
sitting,
drive.
Yeah, shoveling food in my fat yap with Matt Millen, actually, on the screen. He was like, screw that last play. There's like two different plays that were even worse. And one of them was, yeah, I forget who for Green Bay, literally is diving to tackle Russell Wilson. Russell gets rid of the ball. And the guy still, like, kind of lands on his foot. But, and the ref drops the flag like it's the clearest call on earth.
It's the right call. It's a dumb rule. People forgot, like, when they first started
that. What, are you, like,
rule?
Literally... I guess what? You just literally can't really touch them after the... Because
the
ball's released?
Carson Palmer blew his knee out against the Steelers in that playoff game.
Yeah, I heard it on the radio. I actually really vividly remember hearing that happen. Because I kind of picked the Bengals to go somewhere in the playoffs. Then I was like, oh, no.
They created a rule... because of that one play.
What happened? What is the rule exactly?
You cannot hit a quarterback below the waist while he's in, like, the passing motion because he's vulnerable. It's something along those lines. It's ridiculous. And they came up with, like, super protective rules right after that. So then they had the late hits on the quarterback were really policed. So I remember a couple years ago, like, one of the Ravens was going for the ball in Peyton Manning's hand when the rule was at its extreme point.
Was it a black man touching my Peyton?
Touched his head. Touched a white man's
head. Oh, my God. Who does he think he is?
15-yard penalty. And they actually took a valid swipe at the ball.
He's lucky they just didn't shoot him. Heat of the night style.
I don't hear anybody talking about that, where that was horrible, but that was the rule. Nobody said, like, oh, hey, that was messed up. The ref threw the flag. It's like, actually, that's the rule. Like, they phrase it in a way that, like, any contact. So now it has to be, like, meaningful contact or something weird, but... No, man, the rule book is garbage. Absolute garbage. And getting back to, like, defensive pass interference, total joke now. Complete joke. Like, there's just no contact downfield now. And the biggest problem with the replacement refs, though, they don't know how to interpret downfield contact. The second call that Millen was dissing today was...
I like how you're watching this.
Dude, everybody's watching this because it's stunning. But no, yeah. The second thing he was talking about was this bogus pass interference.
I feel like
call.
We should have been singing Somewhere Out There to each other. So I'm sitting in my underwear eating pasta watching Matt Millen at 1:15 in the afternoon.
Touching your weenus?
No, no. I was done beforehand.
I thought you were a Matt Millen fan.
All right, I did it. I own up.
But yeah, like there was the pass interference calls are tough because it was clearly like the offensive player created the contact and basically just pulled down the Green Bay defender, and they called defensive pass interference on that last drive. Mm-hmm. It was ludicrous. That play was ridiculous. But, like, they just don't know how to call that.
Every time I hear ludicrous, I just want to scream, that nigga named Ludicrous! Sorry. Sorry. That first album of his, so good. So good. So good. What's your fantasy, man?
Oh, man. So, yeah, man, let's...
There's nothing much to do here. We can punch out. We hit 50 minutes.
Yeah, what's your final word then on what to do with the NFL? I don't just want to hear what you have to say with replacement refs, but what has this taught you now about the NFL that your listeners need to know?
Oh, God, I mean, there's a lot. First of all, to anyone who says we're not going to watch the NFL... after this took place, ha 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 ha, no, you will. Shut up and own it. You will. Be okay with it.
You're not a Nielsen viewer, so don't even pretend like it has an impact if you did stop.
Exactly. Really, that's part of it. You can do nothing. Do you know how you can show displeasure in the NFL? Don't go to games, which I haven't gone to a Redskins game ever.
Yeah.
My parents just didn't take me when I was young, and they were good, and I certainly wouldn't support the product now. So we got that, and I don't buy jerseys or anything like that. You know what I have Redskins-wise in my house, dude? I think my mom bought some Christmas ornaments from, like, Ross Dress for Less. You know, they got those little buckets in the middle of the store filled with crap. I think I have some Redskins ornaments, and I have a pennant from, like, 1981. My parents bought it pretty much when I was born to stick on the wall.
That's pretty cool.
And that thing is still around, man. That's what I got. I won't put another dime into them. I mean, I like what they're doing kind of this year. That's a whole another episode.
Yeah. RG3 is going to be so good when he plays for another team on his second contract.
Exactly. When he says, screw this, I don't care to have my balls knocked in the dirt every other play.
Oh, man.
Going to go where they like me. And we get nothing for him. It's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah, you're going to get nothing for him.
It's going to be fun missing those two first-round picks. But... yeah, people are going to still watch football because it's kind of just getting funny at this point. Maybe I would care, like, if I had a really good team I was a fan of and this could impact their chances of getting to the Super Bowl. And I was like, they have to fix this travesty. I am a fan of the Redskins. They've clearly proven they suck. They're going to do nothing again this year. So I don't care. What was it? Superintendent Chalmers on The Simpsons, where the school's going just amok because Ned Flanders has taken over and Bart's walking around Chalmers. He's like, this is why you have to get Skinner back. And Chalmers is like, they would have all been this way in 5 years anyhow. It's a hell of a toboggan ride. You know, just let it go to hell. That's how I feel now. Yeah. Just let it go. Because I don't care. Now it's just getting silly. Now it's just a little hilarious.
I laughed so hard at the end of that game. I might have been the only person in the bar.
Yeah, I'm all pinko lefty fruit, so anytime it's like ownership versus the kind of little guy, I'm like, hey, screw ownership. They're being cheap.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how greedy the little guy is being here. I don't exactly know the details. I don't think they're fighting for much.
No, they're being pretty greedy.
Yeah.
They're part-time employees looking for like...
for a lot of job security and a lot of pensions.
They will live comfortable lives that many people, like money that people will never see, they will receive as part of their retirement. So,
and that's,
yeah.
And it's funny how many people kind of before that were just like, oh, you're being un-American and all that junk to them. And especially after that first week when nothing was too botched. It was like, haha, screw you refs. We really didn't need you after all. And by week three, it's just like, end this now.
I'm not there. I'm enjoying this too much.
If the Redskins were 3-0, and like some questionable calls had like really affected things, I would be just on pins and needles about this. But I don't think they've really, like, their two losses, anything was too
there was dude. One thing that happened.
This game, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kyle Shanahan got a penalty, and at first it sounded pretty unbecoming of a coach to get a penalty in that situation, but the reason he got the penalty is he was yelling at the refs when they started to suggest a 10-second runoff with 7 seconds left,
mm-hmm.
which is not the rule because the clock was already stopped when there was a offensive penalty.
Yeah.
And so he just lost it because he just... it sounds like effing, you just...
Yeah, called them pussies and...
You just, like, imposed a loss on
game.
Us. Yeah, it's just like, you basically just tried to end the game when there was no reason to. Of course I'm just going to lose it. So he was wrong to do what he did, but it's less immature than I thought it was because I just figured it was the coach's son like losing it. But when I actually heard what happened, I'm like, yeah, all right, that's fair. So technically, your Redskins were cost the game, bro. I wouldn't say cost the game, but cost the 15-yard throw. 15 yards when they could have had the same horrible reffing in the end zone that Seattle got.
Yeah.
That's what you could have had. You could have had one of those like jump balls where like there was an incorrect call in favor of the Skins.
I don't know. I think part of the reason this got that far is because the public for so long was just obviously like, screw it. We don't support the refs. F you. And I forgot who said it, but he was like, I'm always fascinated in America how people will side with the billionaires over the millionaires. The millionaires are always the greedy ones, and yet the ones 100 times more wealthy than them aren't.
Mm.
It was just, I wish I knew who the hell said that. I'll take credit. I said it. It was really profound to me, wasn't it?
That was quite amazing, John.
Well, hold on. Ooh, there we go. We're actually home free. We did like an hour of NFL talk.
Money.
Yeah.
It's a big NFL day.
I love appealing to my female demos like that. They just eat this NFL crap up. They're like, John, here's my tease. Now do more NFL talk.
Yo, this was a mainstream story. Like, this is hitting all the major news outlets.
It's good. I had fun with it. I know you like your sports ones every so often.
And this just had to be touched.
It did. I don't know how much touching we did, if it was appropriate. Did we touch it real good? If you're happy, I'm happy, Howard.
Yeah.
Howard, thank you for coming in. And if they want to get a hold of you on Twitter,
@exegetical.
There you go. I'm John Papa Giorgio. This was Papa's Basement. Me on Twitter, me myself, I'm @Papa's Basement. The show's website's in papasbasement.com. It's got our Twitter links, got the link to facebook.com/papasbasement, which I love it when people go there and like us. It's got links to everything we do, every episode of the show, all of my writing. You know, you can do a lot there. Look at the crazy pictures, laugh, share them with your friends. Make me famous someday, except that'll never happen. And it's also got the link to the iTunes feed of the show, which is very important. You go there and subscribe to the show that way. Cannot say that enough. Subscribe via iTunes. It's very, very good. Go and rate us as well. And I'm watching Howard dance to this sax work right now. Folks, it's been good. And until the next time, we're out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way. On my way, glory, hallelujah, I'm on my way.